Uprooted. Here's the scene. You build a pretty good life for yourselves. You've got money, you got property, you got a great partner, the love of your extended family. Things are going really well. But you sense maybe something's missing. So, you quit your job. Sell all that you can. Gather up all you have left and decide to wander the country in like a Winnebago or something. You're ready to see what comes next and enjoy life without worries. And things go horribly wrong. You lose all your money. You can't find a job that will replace what you had. Your life is in shambles. Your partner is angry. You long for what things used to be like. And you find your way back home. Sound like the story of Abraham? No, it's really the story of the movie Lost in America. Remember 1985? Albert Brooks, Julie Haggerty, the couple decides to throw everything away or uproot and live their lives like Easy Rider. But that plot line isn't completely unlike today's Bible reading, at least the beginning of it and then beyond. So there's Abram. He has a slightly different name at the beginning of the story. He became Abraham later. Remember, Abraham is recognized as the root of Islam, of Judaism, of Christianity. These three Abrahamic religions, we are all cousins. We should be getting along and showing love for one another. Abram and Sarai, she had a different name too, had it pretty good. They had made a good life for themselves. They had money, they had property, each other, the love of their extended family. It was Lot. Abram took Lot with him. Something was missing. For them, it was different than the characters in the movie. For Abram and Sarai, it was family. They wanted children. Instead, they got the chance to wander. At 75 years old, they got to wander. God told Abram to go. And he went. And I'll talk more about that later. But he and Sarai had many adventures. Abram, at one point, gave away his wife in marriage to a pharaoh in Egypt because he wanted some food and money. Then Pharaoh gave her back when things didn't go so well. Misogyny in the Bible. It's ever present. That's an awful part of the story. Abram loved his family, but he knew that things with his nephew Lot, the one who he went with at the beginning of the sermon, the end of the reading, he knew that they weren't going to go smoothly all the time. So he split up with Lot. He split the places that they would settle and live to keep them from becoming enemies. You know that Mizpah coin? It used to be famous. It's a BFF coin, right? It's sort of slipped on the middle. The Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from the other. And usually when you are, you know, someone's moving away, you would each take a side of it. And we don't have necessarily Mizpah coins all the time now. We have BFFs. I don't know how they're worded, though. You know how they're worded? You know, you get half and half, and you take it with you. Well, the Mizpah coin that has it, remember, we talk about it as being, you know, let's remember each other while we're apart. But that verse in the Bible is really all about, may our cross never pass again. May our paths never cross again, because we will fight with each other. So that's different from what, you know, people used to wear the Mizpah for. But that's Abram and Lot. They separated so that they wouldn't fight anymore. And Abram and Sarai wanted children. They even got their names changed to Abraham and Sarah. But they still didn't have any children. Abraham had a child with Sarah's servant Hagar. And Sarah was very cool with this at first, but she also became very jealous of Hagar and Ishmael, who was Abraham and Hagar's son. Ishmael recognized as the founder of Islam. Abraham and Sarah finally had a child. They had Isaac. And he's recognized as the founder of Judaism and by extension, Christianity. And then there's one time Abraham almost killed Isaac. This is an awful story. It's an awful story. I wish that it wasn't in the Bible. But he almost killed Isaac to prove that he loved God. I don't know how you fit that into a story of love and kindness and goodness. And it really doesn't matter. We try to say, oh, Abraham tried to obey God, and then God said, no, I don't want you to obey me that way. It's just awful. It's just awful. I wish it wasn't there. I don't even know why I'm talking about it, but it's there. So let's just say that things didn't always go well or perfect for Abraham and Sarah. They had reasons to celebrate. They had good things that happened. They had failures. They made huge mistakes. But something that we learn from this morning's reading, right at the beginning and then the rest of it, is that God was with them through all of it. That's the basic story. I know I've left lots out of the story of Abraham and Sarah, but there's a background to this morning's Bible reading, a short reading. It describes some of the beginning of the journey. God told Abram to go to the land that God would show him, and God promised blessing, and Abram went. We got a little more information on how the story went, but we're missing a big part right after this reading and before the big adventure where they made lots of mistakes and had a lot of success. I wonder what happened between the part where God told Abram to go and when Abram went. If you take the character of Abram, if you take the character of the rest of the story and the questions that happened there, it probably was God said go and Abraham said, what? I'm afraid. I don't know if this is right at all. Can we negotiate this? Because I don't want to do it. All right, let's make plans. Let's pack. No, let's unpack. I don't think that we're going to do this. All right, let's pack again. Are you sure we should be doing this? God, are you sure? I don't understand this. Why should we go? Everything is good. I'm afraid. I don't think this is the right thing to do. I don't think that we ought, but maybe we shouldn't even do this at all. And then maybe going. I think we've got the idea that God told Abram to go and Abram picked up and left. The Bible doesn't hold back on all the adventure after Abram left. And I wish there was a little more to the adventure that came before the journey started. There are lots of years in there. Why do I wish that? I don't wish it because I want to make Abram look bad or Sarai look bad or Abraham and Sarah look bad. I think I want to see the rest of the story because really that's where we live. We live in questions and fear and doubt and arguments and plans and packing and unpacking and packing again and second guessing and questions and fear and doubt and arguments. We live in uncertainty. We also live where fear and demonization of the other trumps common decency and respect. We live where bigotry and hate is energized and normalized. We live where Christian exceptionalism seeks to overturn the idea that all are created equal, and no religion or religious expression shall be elevated by the government. We live there. We're talking about Abraham, the ancestor of a multitude, somewhere Islam. Judaism and Christianity grow. Abraham and Sarah, they lived in human reality. They lived where people were so often awful to one another. Humanity has lived there for generations. So I want to know about the doubts and the fears that took place before Abram just up and left. I know it can't be positive that he had doubts and fears and questions and arguments about the whole go thing, but the rest of the story shows a significant amount of confusion, doubt, mistakes, and failures. And remember, through it all, God was with Abram and Sarai. God was with Abraham and Sarah. God promised that Abram would be blessed, and Abram endured a whole lot of what you would call not blessed. But God never left. God didn't call off that blessed bit. Because God never leaves, and God doesn't call off the blessed bit. that God promised that the ancestors of Abraham would be blessed, all of them. No matter what religion they are, no matter what religion they became, no matter what religion they weren't, God doesn't call off the blessed bits. And so, as God promised that to Abram and Sarai, to Abraham and Sarah, God promises and wants all of God's children to be blessed. All of God's children, no exceptions at all. And we have to try. No, we can't just try. We have to stop undoing that. We all live with celebration, with doubt, with happiness, with tragedy, successes, mistakes, joy, failure. And God never leaves because God loves all, and love wins. One way love wins is when our actions are governed by love. Abraham and Sarah, they made mistakes. But I do want to think that their actions, their movements, their lives were governed by love. So, how are we going to govern our lives by love this week? How are we going to act in love this week? Maybe we do it by writing a letter. Maybe we do it by making a phone call. Maybe we make a donation. Like write a letter in support of equality and kindness. Advocacy toward a marginalized population like immigrants, religious minority, people with disabilities, the LGBT community. Write a letter to an elected official. Write a letter to a news source. Or I'll make a phone call. Maybe you can make a phone call to any of those things. But maybe you make a phone call to somebody who's going through a difficult time. You know they're going through a difficult time, whether it be with illness, or you know that something bad has been happening in their family with their job. Call them and say hello. Listen, offer support and friendship. I know I say that a lot. It's an important thing to do on a weekly basis. And then maybe make an extra donation to an organization that is helping. Maybe you make an extra donation to St. Paul's. But we're not the only organization that helps. Any of the organizations we support through benevolence giving. Another organization that you know is doing good, make a donation. Make an extra donation to make the world a little bit better. So write a letter, make a phone call, make a donation. God never leaves. I am, you are, we are all God's children. Like Abraham and Sarah, we are blessed. So now let's go be a blessing. Amen.